basketball Jones. I got a basketball Jones. Got a basketball Jones. Oh, baby. Ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball Jones.
And of course, that means
ever since I was a little baby,
it's time for our first conversation of 2023. With our basketball Jones, Tom Jones, here on Kate Radio. Jonesy, a happy new year. How you doing?
Hey, good. Yeah, nothing like my favorite Cheech and Chong song to bring me into the Tuesday afternoon show.
Absolutely. I got to ask you right off the bat, because I know you've been driving around Albert Lea. How are the roads out there?
You know, I just had some lunch on the south side at the Elbow Room, and side streets are slushy, but they're very passable. A lot of water flowing, and I know the city just put out a post to make sure if you have a drain around your house to get that cleaned out so water can drain out. Pretty passable around town right now. I'm real happy with where we're at driving.
Well, good to hear. Well, let's get right into what our usual first topic is, and that's talking basketball. And I know last week you're over in St. Charles, the Albert Lea boys basketball team. They took second place. They beat St. Charles, the host team, in the first game, then lost to a good La Crescent Hoka team in the championship game. Jonesy, give us your thoughts on that holiday tournament in St. Charles.
You know, it's a fun tournament to go to. We've been there a couple years now, and not that far of a drive, hour and 10 minutes to the gym or so from Albert Lea. And the JV won against St. Charles, and also the varsity the first night. And it was kind of nice that I always say that the home team always is going to pick a game they think they're going to win to get to the championship. And Albert Lea came out and played very well in both games and took care of business, I guess, if you want to say that. And I thought we played very well as a team. We were doing what we need to do, get Paul Wall the ball down low, and I think he scored quite a few points. I don't remember off the top of my head, but he had a very good game. They couldn't stop him, and so then we advanced to the championship against the Tonawanda River. I never could remember its name.
La Crescent Hoka.
Yeah, and he always said, well, La Crescent's not a real big town, but they've got some good basketball players, and you could just see in their warm-up, they weren't bigger than us, but they were more athletic than we were. And their defense, if you ever coached against like a Rochester Lewards team, Lewards will just smother you defensively. And that's the way that La Crescent was. They just smothered us. And you know, we couldn't get our game going because of that. And Paul wasn't scoring points like he had done the night before. And every shot was contested, and every player coming through the lane was probably bumped pretty good. And they just wore us down. And I was within 10-12. I don't remember what the final was, but we just never could quite get over that hump. And defense wins you games, and their defense won that game, no question about it.
I think the boys team's either 2-3 or 2-4, and they get a Mankato West at home coming up on Thursday night. I got to bring this story up. Did you hear about the post that one of the captains of the La Crescent Hoka team made earlier last month, talking about his fans?
I did, about the officiating, right?
Yeah, so I
no,
I,
yes,
I,
yeah.
I forget the young man's name. So how are their fans, La Crescent Hokas? Do they behave?
Oh, excellent. I thought the fans, the Albert Lea fans and La Crescent and Pine Island and everybody was really good. Yeah, you know, I wanted to go up and shake that kid's hand, too, and I never even thought about that. Those boys are sitting right ahead of me during the last JV game, and I read that post very well, and extremely well written. And for those that are listening that wonder about that, there was apparently a game La Crescent was in, and his fans were kind of loud, and probably fans from both teams, and basically said, you know what, guys, if you want us to play, we need officials, and you need to be more respectful. And it went out to the community, and it got picked up on a lot of different Facebook pages, I think, and just saying it, if you want us to play, you've got to get officials to come, and you've got to be better behaved as a fan. And I know, I thought all the fans that night were just wonderful.
It takes a lot of guts for a 17 or 18-year-old kid to call out adults like that. I mean, that takes so much courage for that young man. I mean, he might have been talking about his own parents. Who knows? I mean, what he did was pretty courageous to go on social media and say that officials might not want to even come to La Crescent Hoka because they hear bad things about our fans. So hats off to his team. I'm glad he made the statement. Not glad he beat Albert Lee last week. But the Tigers, again, will try to bounce back coming up on Thursday. Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. And Jonesy, were you watching the Monday night football game when things went down last night?
You know, I was not. But for the next 2 hours, I was on social media reading about him. And Aaron, I want to bring back a couple different things that I've seen in my life as an official and as a Kate Radio broadcaster, having to go along with what we saw last night. I saw the highlight of him, of the hit and the going down. And the first thing is the NFL had did an amazing job making sure that the right equipment was on the sidelines to get there and to get his heart going again. And my hat's off to all of the preparation for game days to have that kind of emergency happen and be ready for it like they were. Just hats off to that. But two things I've witnessed, Aaron, and talking to some friends about this, I was officiating sort of in the late 90s out at, Southwest Junior High. And it was probably in Otana, probably an eighth grade game. And an Otana kid went back into the huddle and he collapsed right to the ground. I mean, 25 feet ahead of me. And scary, scary, scary. And he was an offensive lineman. And he, I think it had a stinger in his neck. And that's what caused him to go down. And fortunately, we had a seventh and eighth grade game going. And there was a doctor that was a seventh grade, had a seventh grader playing, I believe, if my memory's right. And he was right out there right away. And of course, we had the ambulance there. And you had seventh or eighth grade boys, I don't remember which grade it was, but they're on the sideline, literally in a state of shock. And just like we saw last night, and some tears going, and here I am as an official, and probably in my 20s, and have absolutely no training in trying to calm kids. But I went over there and just told them about, you know, sometimes you get stingers in your necks and in your neck, and that can happen where you have this happen. It wasn't a heart issue. We knew that. And so that is a live thing for me that I've seen. And then the second thing was back in the late 90s, Mike Sullivan and I were broadcasting a elderly high school football game at Hamler Field. And we had an official collapse right at midfield and died instantly.
Oh, really?
And Mike, his name was Dallas Keasley. I always remember that name. Interesting name. And he, I think he was from over in the Wabasha area or, you know, north of Rochester, somewhere in there. And we had Dr. Mark Schody, was the orthopedic surgeon, and he was our trainer on the sideline. And he was there, you know, sideline to midfield that quick to start administering to him and CPR or whatever. And that official did not make it. Unfortunately, we were playing Winona on a Friday night, and Mike Sullivan, who did the play-by-play, was looking down in his notes when I happened to be looking out at the field. And it was me that said, Mike Sullivan, this is an exact quote, Mike Sullivan, we've just had an official collapse at the midfield stripe. And scary, scary, scary. You know, we talked about things for, I'm going to say, a half an hour maybe while they administered to this official. And I can remember, too, getting asked that if they wanted to continue the game. The officials didn't want to continue the game, obviously. They lost one of their team, although they didn't know it at the time. But I said, you know, I'm not qualified with the high school league to do it, but if you want to continue, I'm sure I could handle my own. And our buddy Dave Gilbertson, the late Dave Gilbertson, went home and actually changed it into his football officiating equipment.
Oh, wow.
And he was ready to jump on the field and help out, too. But after a long discussion, they decided, just like with the NFL, no, we're not going to continue this game. And then Winona came back the next day, and they went home that night. And I think Albert Lee was offering motels, whatever, to have them stay. But they felt the best thing was for the kids to go home to view with their parents. And so then I think it was the third quarter, whatever the time was. Then a Saturday afternoon, they continued the football game at that point, and I don't remember who won or who lost, which is really insignificant. But very sad time to be able to see that live and have to call all that live. I mean, we were on the air talking about what was going on, I'm sure a minimum half hour, 45 minutes that night.
And what year again was that?
Late 90s.
Late 90s.
That's all I can tell you. Mike Sullivan left in 2000, I know it was Mike and I, so somewhere in the 90s.
The announcers on ESPN last night did a phenomenal job because they're put in a position where, I mean, they didn't cut away to any kind of, you know, we're going to play some tape from a game or do some highlights or go to some 60 or ESPN 60 show. No, they had, again, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and Lisa Salters at the game. They kept talking. They had, I think it was Susie Colbert back at the studio, and they had to present things professional in real time. And you could see the emotion on these announcers. And I know a lot of times Joe Buck, the announcer, gets a hard time because they think he's a homer for certain players and certain teams. But those guys last night and women did a phenomenal job because that's a tough spot. And just like your story back in the late 90s, that's a tough spot for a broadcaster to be in where you're just calling a game. You're calling a game. You're talking football. And all of a sudden, you have to stop that and go a total different direction that you're not prepared to go. And I thought that team last night, A-plus job, because that's a tough position to be in.
Oh, man. And you got your A-team there, too, with Troy and Buck and those guys. You can have all your preparation during the week, and you know all the preparation goes into game broadcast. And to be able to have that, and it's just something you're never ready for. And give them credit for what the job they did. And I read a lot of posts on social media about that, how well they Jack or the Buck. Is it Jack Buck or what? That's Jack.
Joe Buck.
Joe, thank you. Yeah, Joe did on that. And Troy Aikman, such a professional too. And so hats off to them. And the thing I think is neat too about this whole thing, Aaron, is the injured player had I don't know if it was a fund to raise money for Christmas presents for kids. And I think I read this morning that his goal was 20,000, 200,000, something like that. And this was before he got hurt.
His goal was $2,500.
$2,500.
It's over four now. Over $4 million.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
People showing their support to Bills, Damar Hamlin. Again, the latest, he's still in a critical condition at a hospital in Cincinnati, and ABC News will keep you updated on the latest today. Again, everybody around the world sending up prayers up to this young man. And again, it's just it's another, I guess, situation that shows how precious life is and how things can change in a blink of an eye. And hopefully tomorrow, Hamlin's okay.
Yep. A lot of our older listeners will remember Bill Masterson, I think it's called, with the Minnesota North Stars. He was killed in the course of an NHL hockey game when he hit his head on the ice, I believe 1967 or 68, and the Bill Masterson Trophy is still part of NHL, an award they give out every year. And there was an NFL player in 1970 or 71. I remember when this happened, he collapsed of a heart attack. He was a wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. And I looked that up last night and read all about him. And he had actually had some sort of a heart issue in a preseason game, Aaron, if you can believe this. And they let him back on the field some point during the season. And, you know, today's modern equipment and modern ways of doing things, I don't think that would ever happen again for that young man to pass away in an NFL football game for the Lions. But I do remember when that happened. I was 8 or 9 years old at the time, and I was just shocked as I am today with the injury of the player.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on Kaint Radio. And Jonesy, before I let you go, what do you got prepared in your weekly article in the Albert Lee Tribune?
You know, I wish I could tell you I have. I'm on my way right now to write it. But I got a little bit delayed this afternoon with some water downtown in a building our family owns. It's running in the alley behind it, and I wanted to make sure everything was there running properly before we go off to do the column. So I don't have anything, but we'll be looking. Actually, I'm going to be switching it up this week. January of, I'm going to start going 20 years, 15 years, and 50 years. And I know a lot of people like the 50-year thing, and I try to find names that are still around or kids that scored goals in Parkley hockey that are still, you know, my age. And that makes it kind of fun. I hear a lot of comments about that too, which is kind of cool. So no column written yet for this week, unfortunately. And Aaron, if we can talk one last thing about basketball. And I didn't have this originally written, and that is the boys basketball team has a game at Worthington on Saturday. And it's at 4:30 varsity, and the girls actually play at Blue Earth. At, I believe it's 12:30 on Saturday. So Blue Earth is a team we always used to play. I can remember early in my broadcasting days on Tate, going over and doing a few games over there and them coming back to Albert Lee. And we'd often play Fairmont, too, in the late 80s, almost regularly every year. And then we went to the bigger schedule in the Big Nine, and that kind of ended that. But a couple games and that I wasn't even aware, and if I did have them written down, I didn't. But I look forward to maybe catching both my daughter and my son's team on Saturday, depending upon what's going on. And our hockey teams did real well over in Rochester, I believe is where they were. Mikey Olson, big wrestling champion, I think I saw up at Fargo at the Rumble at the Red or whatever it's called. And
yeah, we had three champions. Three champs up there.
That's just amazing. It's going to be a great wrestling team this year. See how they go as the season progresses. And just looking forward to it. And I was very excited to go to Austin tonight, watch Everly Boys play at the Austin Packers. But, of course, everything's canceled. And I haven't got a makeup date. If you do, maybe you can let us know. But I think with school not being on, I'm not sure if any of the people are even there today to make that get a makeup date for that game yet. But I was pretty excited to watch that.
Monday, January 23rd is the makeup for that
game.
Oh,
you got it. Good.
Monday, January
23rd. I got that on my schedule.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, have fun writing this week's column for the Albert Lee Tribune. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good, Aaron. Take care, everybody. Thank you for getting the chance to be on the radio every week.